then with his eyes and ears, and strove every moment to drown something in his ceaseless poring over gay, insipid novels. And when the church bells rang, he would stop his ears and scream, and the great cat that dwelt with him would howl in unison, till the last peal died reverberantly away. But try as Williams would, he could make his neighbor speak of anything profound or hidden. The old man would not live up to his aspect and manner, but would feign a smile and light tone, and prattle feverishly and frantically of cheerful trifles. His voice every moment rising and thickening, till at last it would split in a piping and incoherent falsetto. That his learning was deep and thorough, his most trivial remarks made abundantly clear, and Williams was not surprised to hear that he had been to Harrow and Oxford. Later it developed that he was none other than Lord Northam, of whose ancient hereditary castle on the Yorkshire coast so many odd things were told. But then Williams tried to talk of the castle and of its reputed Roman origin. He refused to admit that there was anything unusual about it. He even tittered shrilly when the subject of the supposed and the crypt hewn out of the solid crag that frowns on the North Sea was brought up. So matters went till that night when Williams brought home the infamous Necronomicon of the mad Arab Abdul al-Hazred. He had known of the dreaded volume since his 16th year, when his dawning love of the bizarre had led him to ask queer questions of a bent old bookseller in Jandis Street. And he had always wondered why man paled when they spoke of it. The old bookseller had told him that only 5 copies were known to have survived